Okay, let's get started this morning. Exodus 4 and verse 12 is going to be our main passage. David Cutter, if you'll get that, Exodus 4, 12. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Brian, if you'll get that for us. Romans 10, 17. Aaron, if you'll get that for us, Romans 10, 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Freddie, if you'll read that. Romans 15 and verse 4. Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that for us. And then Proverbs 27, 23. Dave, if you'll read that for us. Dave Fink. So a pastor is not a title, it's a function. This is something Pastor Greg has often repeated and taught me. In discipleship, what that means is a pastor is a shepherd, and a shepherd leads a flock. And so, you know, I taught this at a sermon workshop, and I asked the pastors there, where are you leading your congregation? Do you know where you are headed? And then secondly, and how will you get there? How do you lead your congregation from where you are to where you want to be? And I remember calling Pastor Greg. We were in Rochester and looking to, we were turning a big ship where the church was, the season it was in, etc. And just asking him questions about the direction of the church. And he said this statement, he said, the role of a pastor is to preach, teach, and prepare. And in looking at where we were and where we wanted to be, that was going to be up to the shepherd on helping them get there. So I want to look at these three areas, preach, teach, prepare, the role of a pastor. And let's look at Exodus 4 and verse 12.
Now therefore, go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.
Okay, let's look firstly at the idea of preach or preaching. The first role of the pastor is to preach. This word preach carries the idea of a herald or one who declares the king's message. And that's what we do. We declare God's message. In our main passage that we just read, God tells Moses, I will be with your mouth. Think about that. God is going to be at work in his mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Moses went with a message to Egypt, and he went declaring that message. What is the repeated message throughout the book of Exodus? What was the proclamation? What was God telling Pharaoh? Is exactly that. Let my people go. That was a declaration. And in that declaration, the power of God was then demonstrated. Right? As he would declare, let my people go. Pharaoh would, yeah, let's consider it. And sure, you can go. Nah, you can't go. And then power would be demonstrated, as God was judging the false gods of that nation. So, but the idea of declaration, the same is true for us. We declare the king's message. We declare from the word of God. We declare the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor Wayman Mitchell would tell us as disciples, declare and demonstrate the power of God. Our job is to not go to a place and try to explain God to people or make some type of intellectual understanding. Our job is not to casually share the gospel. No, we preach it. And that's what we are taught. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and complete with complete patience and teaching.
Okay, so here, preach the word. Paul writes, And that word preach means declare it, proclaim it, be the king's messenger, the herald of the word. So in that, this is very important. If many of you have noticed, you've been around for some time. Every time an altar call preacher preaches, we have taught them. Pastor Greg has taught us preaching levels. You don't go up and we're going to tell you about Jesus now and what he can do in your life. No, they go out and they declare, right? It usually starts with an illustration. They begin to share a story that illustrates some aspect of the gospel. Then they declare, they make a connection and declare the gospel. Christ, or the issue of sin, Christ, the answer, and then make an appeal. And in that, there are levels. We have conversation level. I don't speak to people in this level, right? That's not how I talk to people. But this is my declaration level. There's a illustration level. Then you go higher, and then you bring it back a little bit. But all of that is because we declare a message. That's deliberate. That's on purpose. And then secondly, in that, preaching is supernatural. There's a supernatural dynamic connected to declaration. Right? Is that let's read Romans 10:17.
So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ.
Okay, faith comes by hearing. And that is hearing the good news or the word. When it is declared, preaching, it gets through the barriers. Preaching can get through the fronts. Preaching can get to the heart issues. Right? We all have experienced this in some way. Whether that be a regular service, a revival service, a rally service, a conference service, we are a preaching fellowship. Everything we do, we come together and hear the word. Even our youth rally, we came together and the word was declared and preached because it's supernatural. It gets to work in people's lives. So in this, faith is built when we preach. And then preaching needs to come from the word. This is something many of you probably heard Pastor Greg say, and it's true of my ministry experience, is that sermons come from Bible reading. The inspiration in just regular everyday, when I read, I don't read looking for a sermon, I read to feed my spirit, to seek God, to hear his voice. But in that, there are times where there are deposits of inspiration. And in that, God has given you a message and you can declare it. So this is the first job of a pastor. We preach the word, declare it. We are heralds of the king. Let's think secondly about the idea of teaching. So this is the second role of a pastor, is to teach his congregation. And in this, we need to teach the truth of sound doctrine. Verse 12 in the main text that we read, God says to Moses, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Right? Think about this. His message, I will be with your mouth, the declaration was, let my people go. Then signs and wonders were demonstrated, but then Moses would teach God's people. And what would he teach them? Ultimately, the Levitical law, the practice of true worship, and how to be in right relationship with God. In essence, he was teaching doctrinal truths that came from God. So our doctrinal teaching as a pastor comes from the word of God. Let's read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16.
All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to us what is true, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right.
Okay, it teaches us. That's what the Word of God does. Another translation is profitable for teaching. So in that, we teach not from anything else, but from the Word of God. And that's doctrine, but then everything we do, right? Everything we do, we can find throughout Scripture. Then the things we do and practice as a congregation, you can find in the Word of God. And much of discipleship is teaching. When you ask questions, you can be taught. You're getting more than information. You're getting impartation, catching the spirit of your pastor. Romans 15:4.
For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Okay, everything was written for our learning, his translation says. Another translation says, for our instruction. Again, so we can learn. The Word of God can teach us. The Word of God can show us things we need to be doing. So this works out in a lot of areas. Bible studies, Sunday schools, new converts class. Like I said already, questions. The whole point of coming to this table every morning is for questions, for teaching. Counseling is a method where we can instruct, sometimes even discipline. It's a method of teaching to help you see true condition, etc., and gain revelation in areas. So we teach the sound doctrine of the Word of God, not adding or taking away, and in that, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to have it at work in our lives. I remember the day my Bible reading habit changed. It was a Sunday morning, serious men, and we were in now what are the classrooms, but what used to be the fellowship hall. We were all sitting at the table waiting for Pastor Gray, and he came in, and there was something different. You could just see it, and he said, get up, stand up, and we went into the kitchen area. And he started dealing with us about the Word of God. I don't know all, I think if I remember correctly, it's like someone preached an entire altar call without using a single scripture. Right? And it was like, you need the Word of God in you. And he said, you need to understand, you know, in preaching, and he begins to break it down. And then he points at people, give me a scripture about, and he starts going down. Give me one scripture, and he points at me, Jesse, give me a scripture on sin. And I blanked. I was like, I don't think the Bible even talks about sin, you know. And my good friend, Pastor Tim Miller now, he was standing next to me, and he gave out a scripture, and he said, Pastor Greg said, you're not Jesse. In that moment, I realized I'm lacking something. If I can't, in a moment, have something as basic as a fundamental scripture on sin, that's a problem. If I'm to teach and preach this word, that's a problem. And I began to get in the Word of God like never before. And I remember it was in that time I read the entire Bible. And since then, every day give time to the Word of God, because this is what we've got to preach from. Secondly is, when you go out into the field, whether it's a church takeover, a pioneer, brand new startup work, you will have people ask you questions. And because Pastor Greg said so, isn't going to work. because this is what we do as a fellowship isn't going to be enough. I took over a work, and I'm telling you, it was work for the first 6 months. And I had people coming and asking me questions every single sermon. Why did you say this? Where in the Bible does it say that? You made this statement. Why is that true? There was so much that was put into them that was off, that when I'm preaching the word, you know what? It made me a better preacher. Because you've got to get this in you. Our job is to teach. Let's close then. Let's look at prepare. So as a shepherd, you prepare the people for where you are to where you are headed as a congregation. So let's look at Moses' life. He goes into Egypt and he prepares God's people for the Exodus. They're going to leave. In the desert, he begins to prepare them for the promised land. So in other words, there's always the next season. There's always the next chapter of where a congregation is headed. So what does this mean for us? What does this look like? Number one is you have to know where you are heading. And that is what we call vision. Vision. What is the next big step? This is what we have sometimes, whether that's a startup or even a takeover. And I had to do this in both takeovers. Vows of Exampleship. Right? For some, it's implementing or reintroducing your vows of Exampleship. So you've got to cast vision for that. Right? It's healthy to preach on it, teach on it, and then bring it in. Not, hey, by the way, so here's what we have. Right? They got to get revelation and understanding. But if that's where I'm headed, how do we get there? Both of the churches I pastored, I reintroduced adult Bible study, Sunday school classes. But why? What's the purpose? What's the point? We have to teach on that. I had to preach on that, prepare. Concert ministry, both of the churches I took over had stopped concert ministries. So when it came time to bring those in, let's preach about it. Let's teach on it. Let's get an understanding and prepare the congregation. Then it was church planting. Then let's prepare the congregation. A building project. Let's prepare the congregation. All of these. What is the season? Where do we want to wind up? Then I need to prepare the congregation. So in that, there's some things to consider. Right? So know where you're headed. Second, is the church ready for this? Let's read Proverbs 27:23.
Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herd.
Okay. Are they ready? Is this the right time? Or will this hurt in some way? Right? So in that, know the condition. Give careful attention. When I introduced Bible studies in Rochester, it wasn't until after a year I had already been there. Vows of Exampleship, just from a church was to where we needed to get, it was a 2-year-long process. Okay, and it doesn't mean I let anything go, but it was a process. Implementing concert ministries was a 2.5 years process. Right? Because you've got to know the state of your flock. Are they ready? Is this the right time? So in that, is what we need is wisdom. Pastor Greg said, wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do, and how to do. What am I going to do? When will I do this? And how will I accomplish that? And you need God's wisdom in that. Lastly, then, is how do we get there? How do we bridge from where we are to where we want to be? And this is very practical. You have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. That happens through discipleship. That happens through preaching, that happens through teaching. I remember distinctly a time I had a pastor in the Northeast ask me, just, Pastor Jay, how do you get your guys? How do you get your disciples to, you know, lead an outreach, lead a healing crusade, run a ministry, etc., whatever that was, you know? How do you get them to do that? I said, I talked to them about it. And he thought I was joking. Right, really? I said, I talked to them about it. I cast vision on it. I prepare them for it. I let them know my expectations on it. Right? It's being cast, and as it's being cast, as they get inspired, I don't care if it works or not. I don't care if 100 people get saved, or one gets saved, or no one gets saved. I want them to try. I want them to step out. I want them to, you know, get involved in this. And how do they get those inspirations? You preach, you teach, you prepare. So, all of this then, it requires you to think. I remember Pastor Greg saying this so much in my discipleship. If you're going to be a pastor, you need to learn how to think. You're going to be effective. You need to learn how to think and think through things. So think about where the church is. Think about where do we want to go and how we will get there. The shepherd guides the flock through these three avenues. We preach, we teach, and prepare. Okay, let's open for questions. Yeah, David?
You use the scripture, I don't remember which scripture it was, I think it was, the being prepared in season and out of season.
Sure. Yep.
I've heard that scripture used in a lot of different contexts. Can you expound upon what the season that it's talking about is?
Well, if you look, it's 2 Timothy 4:2.
Okay.
You know, it says to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So in that depends on what the season is, right? And how you need to apply the word of God.
Okay.
In it, are you needing to convince? In it, are you needing to rebuke? In it, are you needing to build up and encourage? In it, are you needing to teach something? So there's so many ways we apply the word of God, right? There's so many ways we're connecting it, making it applicable and practical to people's lives. So oftentimes when I'm counseling, whatever the arena of counseling, yeah, but the Bible tells us. You know what? The Bible teaches us. You know what? God's going to help you. He says in his word, right?
Okay.
Whatever that season is, it's got to be in you.
So the season is the context of the situation that you're
in. I would say, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Matt?
Moses, how would you go about preparing people, you know, those 40 years in the desert? Was that somewhat on his shoulders, or was that just something that he had to just wait out the time? And do you ever see that inside the church where it's like, yes, the pastor wants to take them there, but they're just kind of in this, you know, could Moses have done anything, or was that simply outside of his control, or was that kind of trying to relate too much of that scenario to the church?
Is it, if I'm understanding right, are you asking could he have gotten them there faster, or?
Yeah, and so we're trying to know, he knows where they need to be, you know, but there's nothing he can really do to get them there, and that's really kind of on them, and, you know, I don't know if that's, so we'll use that as a cop-out in their church, saying, oh, well, the reason I can't is because they won't, or they didn't, or they don't believe.
Sure.
You know.
Well, yeah, you might be digging a bit too much there, because number one, right, he smote the rock, so you're not going to see it, and this generation won't see it, so they're waiting for a generation to die, you know, whoever that last guy was, they're like, can someone poison him, you know, so we can get in the promised land, but in that is, you know, he did faithfully teach and prepare, right, so in that, the Levitical law is written, right, in that, Deuteronomy are the, if you read Deuteronomy, you need to read it through the lens of the final sermons Moses preached to prepare them for the promised land. So he's always preparing for the next. And then discipleship, right? Joshua, he was hands-on with Moses right there, and Joshua caught that spirit and carried that into the promised land. So, you know, you might be digging too deep, but the point is we do what we need to do. So sometimes, you know, here's one example, you know, in preparing our church, we were preparing for a new building in Rochester. That's what we were aiming at, and the last year was aggressive in that. And, you know, we did everything we could while we were there, turned it over to Pastor Sullivan, and they're in a building we looked at. You know, they just got it. It would have been 3 years ago, or more, actually 4 years ago. We looked at, even put a offer on, and they're in that building today. But it was a process. It wasn't the time, I guess, as far as for us, but everything is worked out. Beautiful building, incredible location. So, yeah.
How do you gauge and take over a church the direction that the former pastor was taking the church?
Mm-hmm. Well, you hear it, and you are aware of it in how people respond, right? And so, you know, you kind of get a little synopsis too in a takeover, right? So in Santa Fe, I brought in vows of exampleship, but it was already being talked about, preached about, taught, you know? So in that, it was 6 months later, we brought them in, right? So I already had a gauge. Rochester was completely different, right? The pastor left the fellowship, left preaching, you know, all that. And so you get a feel in conversation, when you're talking to people, you get an understanding of their values, how they view the Word of God, how they view, you know, righteousness. You hear it in what they talk about. So you're getting a sounding board, in essence.
So at that point, are you trying to make corrections?
No, just gauging it, filing it away, gaining an understanding. And some of them were very blatant and obvious, you know, like the nursery leader, you know, drinking wine and had it all on display in her house, you know. You know, it's obvious, it's blatant. So it's like, okay, we are in a totally, totally different place. So this is going to take some time, right? You hear what they conversate about, what they laugh at, you know? And all of that's just built in relationship, you know? Getting a gauge, even in Santa Fe, the gauge of the core, good people, wonderful people, faithful people, givers, but the feel of the congregation was despair, right? That was the overall. You talk about, man, God's going to help us, and it's like, He helped us back then, and, you know, Hank Colton ruined it all, you know, and it was despair. Can God do it again? The former was greater, right? And so you gauge, okay, so let's believe God, you know, and it gives you understanding on how to approach.
Apart from reading God's word, what things can we do to prepare and get ready to do that? Like, to be able to, I mean, should we be like looking at our church and saying, well, what would I take this if I was the, you know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
What kind of things can we really assimilate and put into practice now?
Yeah, in implementing now, I mean, really, for you particular, Matt, the concert ministry is a microcosm of church ministry, right? And there are these fundamentals and principles. What do you want to see, right? And I believe we have been seeing, you know, with John, we saw a shift, and with you, another shift there. But what we're seeing is soul saved every time, right? And that's something. It's like, guys, we need to see this. Soul saved, hands raised, right? And when you know what you're wanting, you're praying for it. You're casting vision, right? You're declaring it, you know? This is what God's going to do. This is what his word says, and we're believing for that. And then the 180 group rallies behind that, right? And they're contending. Last night, beautiful. We had no seats for prayer because it was all full. That's wonderful, right? Why? Because there's people getting a revelation on prayer. Souls saved. Why? Because we know what we're expecting in these concerts, you know, etc. So that would be one way. Then leading outreaches is a way we can do this. We need to know what we're going to preach. We need to know, let's say, in teaching, what we want to get accomplished, you know, and checklists of equipment that's needed, any kind of flyers or preparation, advertisement, food if you're going to serve it. All of that is in the preparations, right? And then what we're expecting. So all of that works out very fundamentally. And then, you know, even in follow-up can be a part of that, right? When you're working with people, building relationship, there's aspects of teaching and preparation, right? Have you been baptized? You know what? It'd be a wonderful thing in your salvation. You're preparing, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, right? We had people filled on Thursday night, but Pastor Fussell, for probably 2 or 3 days in a row, was preparing. Bring them out. Thursday, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost. He's preparing the congregation. So it works out in a lot of dynamics. Yeah, good. Good, yeah.
Aaron. I have two questions.
Yeah.
So the first is, when you're in an atmosphere, like you were talking about, like in kind of despair, and maybe you're taking over a church, if you're the only one that has a vision and you're trying to cast it, how do you keep it? Is it just talking to your pastor about what your vision is? And then how do you not, like, is it just keeping in contact with him? How do you not fall into that atmosphere that you're just surrounded by, and you're the only one that's got this vision that you're trying to take the church to?
Yeah, definitely. Well, number one is that's why, you know, there's something Pastor Greg teaches us that is so practical, and it's unacceptable. And unacceptable based on what? Based on God's word, right? So even if a body's in despair, right, or a, you know, a handful of you people are in despair, yeah, but God's going to help us. I'm confident of that, right? I have reference points, and I know his word. This is what he says he's going to do. Right? So in that, how do you not fall into it? You got to have the word of God in you. You have to know what you need to be expecting. And that comes through the word of God. Then maintaining your personal salvation, right? Prayer life, your Bible reading life, your, yes, relationship with your pastor. And there were times I'd call, you know, I'm not sure what's going on here, you know, and one conversation, something can shift in your spirit. And then, of course, conference is a wonderful blessing, right? We have that on purpose. It gives us a renewed perspective, right? That's what I'm set to do, right? Yep.
And then the second one is the aspect of preparation and casting vision. With a church, you think it could be the exact same method you could use, like, with your family? Because, like, Tani and I, you know, we're always like, oh, we're going to get involved. And then we're so inconsistent. But I wonder if that's partly because we don't really prepare for it. We just jump into it. And then it's like a million things at once. And then we kind of fall back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a constant cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same type of thing. You could really cast a vision for your family and prepare them for it. Like,
yeah.
Where you want to be from where you're at now.
Sure. Sure, yeah. That's, you know, that's definitely, yeah, possible, like you're talking about, as far as, But it doesn't have to be, I don't want to, you know, it doesn't have to be like this gradual evolution, you know, of discipleship. Like, you know, we're just going to slowly morph into something. Sometimes it also, Aaron, it is making settled decisions, right? And I remember as a new disciple making some decisions, and it was like hell would fight, you know? But it was settled. No, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We will make it for outreach, for, you know, serious men. If, you know, I'll make it for every service, Sunday school, whatever that is, you settle decisions. And that also is part of it. You know where you want to be. You know where you're headed. But you have to settle it. And that many times is, I have found more often the issue, the unsettled decision.
When you were talking about the taking over Rochester, I just made me think of how do you navigate your children through that?
Yeah,
like going, you know, I just picture going over to someone's house and Daddy, why do they got a beer collection on the wall? And
yeah. Like, yeah. No, for sure. So, you know, the thing is, they were quite young, and, you know, one of the things in ministry is, you know, you don't talk about every problem in front of your kids in ministry, you know, and you're extremely careful in church issues with your wife, even. So the other day, I was actually sharing at the table some of these stories and different things. And my son, he was here that morning, and we got in the car, and he's like, yo, like, I didn't even know that's how the church was when we got there. Like, there were so many things, but we didn't drag everyone through the mud and have them for dinner, you know, with our words. And he was like, I had no clue. What he remembers is what we left, right? Where the church was once we left. Churches planted, discipleship happening, serious men, outreach, you know, concert ministry, all those factors in place. And so oftentimes they were younger, so that helps, right? But overall, even to this day, you know, is I don't speak about church matters with them. So they see a healthy ministry. Right? They see and hear the encouraging reports. And that's the focus. And that's the focus of our home. Right? Mm-hmm. We focus on what God is doing. Yep. Yep.
How did you get better at these three things? Was it just simply through a lot of practice? Or
yeah, definitely experience. Yeah, practice and experience. You know, and as you go through things, you know, it was one of those aspects, Devin, even going into Rochester, the best advice that Pastor Greg gave me, and I have given to other men in takeovers, is don't feel like you have to change everything for God to help you. When he told me that, you know, that made me so balanced in that season, you know? And sometimes in life, when your choice is poison, right? I either have to choose poison or poison. Well, which is the lesser poison, right? And you kind of navigate it. And so it's through experience. And you get stretched in some of these seasons. You know, God is building things in you, giving you a bigger perspective, greater understanding, etc. So, yeah, definitely is. Probably wouldn't face those things on your first assignment, right? So.
So when you're talking about teaching, we've been taught not to preach, we act in the church.
Yep.
If you're writing a Sunday school series and you see that there is something that you go, I could teach on this to help the church, do you do that? Or do you just do it based on inspiration from Bible reading or feel from the church?
Well, sometimes though, that's the great thing about series, right? It's in the series, you know. There were things, you know, for example, in the you know, surrender series, that you know, I wouldn't probably choose, you know, but it was in the series. So sometimes, yeah, you might be dealing with rebellion or whatever the case, but you're in a sermon series. And it's in there. That's just the word of God, right? So that's different in that sense. But then teaching, yeah, we're not doing things reactively. But there are things that need to be taught, right? And again, sometimes it's just in your curriculum or whatever it is you're working on at the moment. So, yeah. Good. Other questions? Something to ask? All right. Very good. Well, we'll stop there. Believing God for a good Sunday coming out of an incredible revival and a good night of 180. So, believe God this morning, gentlemen.